In the second half of the Easter season, we spend a lot of time pondering what Jesus said at the Last Supper. In fact, we'll be doing this in most of the Gospel readings from now up until, well, almost till Pentecost. And the reason we do this is because at the Last Supper, Jesus reveals so profoundly who he is, why he has come, and what is his relationship with the Father. I mentioned on the Feast of St. Philip and James, which was just a few days ago, that we're going to hear about Philip's request of Jesus at the Last Supper three times. So we heard it on the feast day, we hear it again today, and it comes up again tomorrow, tomorrow's Gospel. In fact, tomorrow's Gospel, Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Easter, will be a combination of yesterday's and today's. At the heart of this section of John's Gospel is the two requests, one made by Thomas and one made by Philip. Thomas wants Jesus to show the way, show us the way. Philip wants Jesus to show us the Father. Show us the way, show us the Father. The fascinating thing is that Jesus' answer to both of these requests is the same. He points to himself, I am the way. I'm also the revelation of the Father. You see me, you see the Father. Jesus is the way to the Father and the revelation of the Father. In fact, we could expand it because in yesterday's Gospel, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is the truth of the Father. Jesus is the fullness of life, which we share with the Father. Jesus is the full revelation of the Father. Well, this profound truth, this central reality of who Jesus is and what he's doing is at the heart of the Gospel. And this is what the church has been proclaiming ever since. Who is this Jesus? What has come into the world in this new phase of history? Well, it's the Son of the Father, the Word of the Father, the incarnate truth of the Father. So this is the Gospel. Now, it's great news. It's great news. And you would think that as soon as that gets revealed, it would be welcomed with great joy. But it's not. Now, partly because people don't understand it, even the apostles themselves, well, even we ourselves, we don't necessarily understand what Jesus is talking about. But we should be able to grasp that it's great news, the Gospel. But there's another problem. Not only is ignorance an obstacle, that can be overcome by proclamation of the truth, as long as people are welcoming the truth. But the other problem is that sometimes people don't want the truth. That's a little harder because you can't just tell them the truth if they don't want it. This is what we see in today's first reading. Here we're getting to the conclusion of the description or the narrative about Paul and Barnabas preaching in the synagogue in Antioch. If you remember, a couple of days ago, we heard that they went to Antioch. They went to the synagogue because that's where the Jews gathered to pray, and they were asked to speak. And so they did. And of course, they proclaimed Jesus Christ. At first, they got quite a favorable hearing. In fact, it says in today's reading that almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. So this is a week after the initial proclamation that the word has spread. These people, Paul and Barnabas, have a great message. Let's go hear the word of the Lord. And that's what should happen. That's what should happen when the truth is proclaimed. People should say, wow, here it is. Let's listen to the truth. But we see another reaction in the early part of this reading. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and with violent abuse contradicted what Paul said. Jealousy and violent abuse. This has a very modern feel to it, doesn't it? You see, it's not an argument about what's true and what's not true. It's not civil discourse about trying to investigate what's the truth of the matter. It's just raw emotional opposition. It doesn't matter what's true. What matters is we don't like what you're saying. We don't like you around. We don't like you influencing our place. We feel threatened by you. Isn't that what happens all the time nowadays? Very little public discussion is really objective pursuit of truth. Almost all of it is people shouting at each other because they don't like what the other person is saying. This seems to me like an early example of what's now called cancel culture. Cancel culture. It's not a matter of just refuting falsehood. It's a matter of stopping the whole possibility that someone might disagree. That's where we are. And that's where Paul and Barnabas are. This is an indication of how fragile freedom of speech really is, or in modern times, freedom of the press. It can be stopped from above. Governments can shut down media. They can control to a certain extent what is proclaimed, violations of freedom of the press. But it can also happen that popular culture or influential people or crowds can shout down the opposition. And on social media, this is the basic dynamic. You don't have to have a good argument. You have to have more influencers. And you have to have more possibility of multiplying your message until it overwhelms any opposition. That's what happens here. The influencers, it says, when they decided to contradict what Paul and Barnabas were saying, it says they incited the women of prominence who were worshipers and the leading men of the city and stirred up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas. So again, it's not marshaling a better argument, making a counter argument. It was inciting women of prominence. These are influencers, right? These are women who are used to having their way because they have money and they're used to telling people what to do. Leading men of the city, same category, talking about the elite, the people who decide what's going to happen. And they tell their followers or their slaves or whatever, people that they influence, let's get rid of these two troublemakers, Paul and Barnabas, and it works. They drive them out of the city. The modern version of this is you hire some young people with multiple social media accounts and flood the, whatever they call it, the web or the Twitterverse, or I don't know enough about it. I know this is what happens. All you have to do is get enough people to say enough, to say your position often enough, loud enough, and on enough platforms, and you can drive out or cancel out even the truth, at least temporarily. Now, we know in the bigger picture, truth always wins. In ultimately, truth always wins because God is truth. Truth is eternal. It can be for a time obscured or silenced, but not forever. That's why we go back to the necessity of the church's mission of proclaiming Jesus Christ. The very thing Jesus reveals at the Last Supper, He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, He is the full revelation of the Father. He's the whole package, the whole gift of God to us. And there's nothing greater than that, nothing more powerful, nothing more threatening to those who are clinging to their own power. So that's why there will always be opposition to the proclamation of the gospel. But we can never give it up. We can never stop proclaiming the truth. because it's the truth that will ultimately set us free. It's not power that sets us free. It's not technology that sets us free. It's not popularity that sets us free. It's truth. And the truth has to be proclaimed, embraced, welcomed, listened to, lived. And that's what Christianity is all about. So let us, like Paul and Barnabas, continue to live and proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, even if we face opposition. And let's not let our spirit get dragged down by all the problems, all the confusion, all the opposition. Notice the very last line of today's first reading. After Paul and Barnabas are expelled from the territory and they shake the dust from their feet, the last line says, the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. That's the life of a Christian, to be filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. If we're not filled with joy and the Holy Spirit, well, something's wrong. Something's missing. Maybe we're not confident enough in the power of the truth or in the goodness of the Lord. But this is what we should be. So let us be filled with joy and the Holy Spirit.